Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Monday night installment here at Your Remedy Is in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're discussing various offensive litigating strategies. And this is with our speaker, Mr. David Merlin. My name is Martin Michaels. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedy Is in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer.
Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedy Is in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do where they're similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless, and it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedy Is in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com, if we look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for.
Stand by,
but that is not really why it's on this page.
Odd couple
the
here.
Reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes all the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course. So it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known majorly for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced. The jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of Your Remedy Is in the Law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of YourRemedyIsInTheLaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups that Your Remedy Is in the Law. And Your Remedy Is in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that altogether make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at YourRemediesInTheLaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you'll get to a point where it will ask you, what are your hot points? What are you interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights. Anything that you can think of. But if it affects your personal rights in one way or another, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much of how you think of a social network. Though nothing like a social network. It's very custom. It's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal things, their personal things, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be a tremendous amount of help to you. And maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do where I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. And then for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to a point where you've educated yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at State Run Communications is just very simply get people start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using statewide communications, either signing up the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, maybe you're just new to your remedies in the law and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number and the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button. Fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator's screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at your remedies in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Ember for advertising at your remedies in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that honestly most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. And we make those introductions. Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best. And believe you me, we aim for the best. The unavoidable things do sometimes happen. And when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. Again, we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have had to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not if your remedy is in the law, anyway. Of course, when you call the remedy and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at Your Remedy is in the Law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
Well, Martin, thank you so very much for giving us that disclaimer. GW will be joining us shortly. I want to take this opportunity to share with you a couple of announcements that are very germane to some people here. One is that on the Wednesday night call, we are going to have a special guest in addition to Mr. Slevin speaking. You've heard me talk about Mr. Slevin's LLCs. There is another information provider that we will be marketing not as frequently as we do on our weekly calls, but they will be coming in on our Wednesday night call with Mr. Slevin, and that is simply this. If you are an entrepreneur and you know the difficulties in engaging with the banking system, particularly when it comes time for you to create a line of credit for whatever purpose that you have or to make a business loan for what you're wanting to accomplish. The song and dance that you're made to go through, et cetera. So what I'm saying to you is that what would you think, and think of the closing costs on loans and all the other different fees associated with the loans that you would get if you were approved at the bank, would you spend $50,000 to get $1 million line of credit or credit extended to you? That's the question. If you acquire one of Mr. Slevin's LLCs, and that's something that you want to do, then you can have that done. And if you're not looking for $1 million, you're looking for $500,000, et cetera, so the amount that you're looking for is predicating the cost of having that service done for you. If I've said anything at all that raises questions, et cetera, I encourage you to be on Wednesday's call to flesh that out with Mr. Slevin and his special guests. His name is Tony, and I like to refer to him as Tony the Tiger simply because he's great. Sorry, for those of you old enough. Anyways, that having been said, tonight's call is also very, very important now with regards to talking about the issues of people with regards to interfacing with police, law enforcement, et cetera. We're also going to be covering this very much in depth from the legal standpoint tomorrow night as well with Brother John, in addition to non-assumpt that we have to talk to you about. We'll cover non-assumpt first, and then we'll get into some very intense legalities that are involved with roadside stops, et cetera. My computer just blinked on me, and it didn't refresh the screen. So give me one second here, and give an opportunity to see GW, are you here yet? I don't hear him. Okay. So, let me try to refresh this to see what's going on. The concerns that we have, when I say we, I'm talking about the team, is that there's more than one person now. There's been two people that have been thoroughly ventilated. There was one that was thoroughly ventilated and another that came within inches of being ventilated. And it was on a personal call that was made directly to John from one of his previous students from years ago. And you're going to hear about that story tomorrow night. It's actually a very scary story when you consider what's on the table and what the tragic outcomes can possibly be. So it's very, very important that you be on tonight's call and tomorrow night's call with regards to this information. GW, I still can't see the board. Are you there? Not yet. My thing's going around in circles, so it may populate in just one second. And for those of you who are on the call that are first-time callers, let me just share with you this simple statement. There are two classes of United States citizens, not one. The police, all they know about is one. They do not know that there are two classes of citizens. You've heard me talk about Justice John Harlan, Supreme Court, 1901, who said that we have, in effect, two governments that we're operating. Well, one is the United States, and the other is the several states of the Union. And the several states of the Union, you have constitutional rights, i.e. natural rights. The other United States citizens have civil rights. And the distance between the two is as far as you can get, because one is inalienable. You cannot be taken away from you. You can't even pledge it away. And then the other is the civil rights, which is granted to you by virtue of the government saying that you went to them for permission. And you know that you've done this, and you're in this class of people because you have a driver's license, a fishing license, a hunting license, a marriage license, and you know, license. It goes on ad nauseum to that effect. So that proves that you are a United States citizen because you asked the government for permission to do something that is otherwise illegal. And where is getting married illegal? Where is hunting and fishing illegal? It's only illegal in the United States. In the Union states, it's your right. So we're going to be covering that tonight, and then the point is that we have people who have having interaction with the law enforcement officers. The law enforcement officers are being trained that anyone that talks about their constitutional rights are, quote, sovereign citizens, end quote, which is a made-up word. It's a boogeyman term, like tax protester. Now, the IRS used the term tax protester for a number of decades until they were sued for using that as a defamatory expression, and the IRS can no longer use that in the lawsuits that they go against you with for doing what you do. Something else, too, we have a first-time caller from Newport News, Virginia, ending in 5716. Would you like to share with us how you heard about the call tonight? Newport News, Virginia, ending in 5716. Would you like to share with us how you heard about us tonight, please? All right. Pretty, please.
Hello?
There you are. Hi.
Oh, yes. Hi. Hello.
Hi. Just curious how you heard about us.
Yes. Well, I came across the You Have the Right website.
Okay.
And I subscribed. And I reached out to a Mr. Rydell because I was inquiring about the executor letter. And he actually gave me your information. He gave me the number to call in and said that you had some very good information that might be useful to me. Yeah.
Way cool.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. So would you share your first name with us?
Oh, my name's Lisa.
Thank you, Miss Lisa. Appreciate you, and welcome to the call. I want you to know, since you're a first-time caller.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I want you to know, since you're a first-time caller, that we have calls on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, and Saturday night for your benefit, each one covering a different subject. So it's important that you know that, and please consider joining us not only tonight but tomorrow as well, and so forth. Tonight we're talking with GW is our information provider and speaker, and he's going to be sharing with you possibly something to do with the behavior with law enforcement as you interface with him. So GW's joined us, and it's my pleasure to turn the call over to him. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, man. How are you today?
Hey. What's... Fantastic. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah. I'm doing pretty well. Got lots of MMS going through my system right now. Scheduling an appointment with a dentist because one of my tooth opened up and there's sharp metal in my mouth right now. And that's not a good thing, but I'm not complaining. It's just like probably on that this one tooth. Yeah.
Not good.
Well,
all right. I want you to know, let me just tell you in advance that tomorrow night John will be covering another incident where it does have one of our students involved, but it was the passenger for one of the students, and there was almost another incident of ventilation that was escalating to that point. And blessedly, the student just called John. She called John on the side from the side of the road, and he was actually able to talk to the Leo. But that's going to be tomorrow night's call. In addition to him explaining to everybody what non-assumpsit is, I wanted to share that with you in case you want to join us.
Very good. Yeah, it's kind of nice to hear that other service providers out there, you're right, that website shared your information, Michael. That's
terrific.
That's pretty cool. So, I've been just on consultations all day long. Seems like some reason there's a lot of activity and a lot of excited people out there that want to get things done, which is good. I'd reach out to you, Michael, and shared that about the other day about another type of service provider for that we have little confidence in that got arrested, and his wife got arrested also. It's always unfortunate, okay, because they're trying in this arena to make some change, but they're not educating their people right. And this particular gentleman, we had a couple callers about 3 weeks before, I think it's about 3 weeks ago. And I believe it was a time where, Michael, you were under the weather. And I think Martin was handling the call. And we had three gentlemen on the line that were looking into our process because they were a little alarmed at the process they had just been through and completed with this gentleman that just got arrested. And he was, what they told me is that the guy that was speaking for the two other gentlemen that were on the line with him, that they had just gotten their passports back from Mr. Strait's process, and that he was actually accepting service of the passports, which is not totally uncommon, okay? That this is done with a lot of corporations out there where they have employees, and sometimes they will do that. But not only was he accepting service for them, but he was what they told me, and this is their statement, they told me that he was printing on the passports, on the face of the passports where your picture is and all the information, with a stamp that had red ink on it, and it said, American National, do not stop, do not detain, do not arrest. Now, I immediately choked and thought, ha, wait a minute. And they were wondering, they made a further comment, they were wondering if they could take it off with a little concern to themselves, would take it off with like lemon juice or something and remove it. First off, defacing a government document like that for this ID is looked at by the system as highly illegal. It's not really something you want to do. And I remember making the statement that this, I do not think this is going to age well for David and his people, in which it only took a couple weeks, and then we see this coming out viral of, his wife getting arrested and then him getting arrested. I'm not talking about it to, be the bearer of bad news and, say how everybody else out there is wrong or right and all this stuff. It's just that I believe that there's a certain fiduciary responsibility that we take seriously in trying to educate our students and our clients on the best practices with interfacing with government officials and whoever, law enforcement, whatever you want to call them, out there, and that it needs to be done in a very diplomatic way. And that does not include being belligerent in a negative way and, claiming your rights like, some nutcases do on the side of the road, which you probably, a lot of people here, watch YouTube videos and things like that are exposing a lot of these things. Some of them, they seem to prevail, and others, they, get jacked up, okay, by law enforcement. There's never really a time to get crazy or escalate a situation. In fact, most every situation out there gets escalated only with your cooperation. And so we always want to be in that place of having a peaceful mindset. And even though I know a stop on the road is a little bit adrenaline, accentuating. And so, but there's, God wants us to have, he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And we really need to be in a place where we can demonstrate that. And so, with that said, there are things that we can go over, on those issues. And we do take the time to go over with the students we have that are walking forward. Okay, that we are complicit with and that are using our process, we do take that time, and we will take that time to go through questions and explain things. So this call tonight, of course, is about one of the foundational elements that is really, really important in your quest to be as free as you can be in the physical realm here on Earth, interfacing with government, and that is to be able to correct your status with the U.S. State Department and to to bring it into a what you would say a constitutional construct. And so correcting your status is just the kind of the very beginning, and it does take some education, and it's not the you know, silver bullet and you know, the ending of everything, and once you've corrected your status, you know, and you push that button and everything's hunky-dory. There is a process in how to walk it out, just like Scripture talks about. Once we become and understand the gift of salvation through the you know, good news of the gospel, okay, then there's another type of gospel that the Scriptures actually talks about, and that's the gospel of the kingdom. But what's interesting about the gospel of salvation is about the most necessary thing that you need to do, which is correcting your spiritual status, okay, with the kingdom of heaven and becoming a citizen of heaven through the willful act of accepting our Lord and Savior, who we call on this call a lot of times Yeshua HaMashiach, okay, in the Hebrew, okay. But there's also, in my upbringing, I would tune in quite regularly to a pastor out of the Bahamas, Miles Monroe, who I really, really loved. And he would talk a lot about the gospel of the kingdom. And it actually, there's a couple different gospels, you know, that we talked about good news in the Bible. And the gospel of the kingdom is a different kind of gospel from salvation, in that it is the understanding of how to walk out and how to interface with the kingdom of God and his kingdom and what it looks like. And that's a pretty heavy subject, but it's definitely worth pursuing, because there's a protocol to talking to your God and to going into his court and to being one of his sons and daughters. And so I just wanted to kind of put that out there. I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around what we, you know, if there's anything else I need to discuss before we open it up for questioning. It is really contingent upon people to read and understand a couple of the publications that are put out through Michael's website, okay, that go into the court cases, the Supreme Court cases, the appellate court cases, and understanding, getting a real understanding of those things, and to know, you know, who you are and who you're not, and you know, moving forward. I'm getting more and more people asking also about correcting their driver's license, that's something that we've had an amount of success with also on top of it. So and that's kind of good news, especially when you have that one court case that is a Supreme Court case that says and states that the acceptance of a license in whatever form does not impose upon the licensee an obligation to respect or comply with any provision of the statutes, codes, or regulations that would be repugnant to the Constitution. And so, even though you might be caught up in a number of different licenses in your professional life or whatever you've done, the good news is, I love to tell people this, and I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of excited because I'm interfacing with an attorney right now that wants to get this stuff done, and my experience with attorneys overall has been more from educating them has been one of they get so fearful, you know, they got this license, especially talking to attorneys or financial licensed fiduciaries. They really got them in kind of a small box, and they get real, real scared and kind of intimidated when you're talking about this stuff, because they're so used to being chained and explaining everything and disclosing and every part of their existence, and having somebody check off on it, saying, "Oh, okay, you've been a good boy. You can participate a little longer in our scam." The good news is for those kind of people that have licenses is that they're in much better place if they correct their status. If they ever get challenged, if they ever get in that place where, you know, the whatever agency or, out of control regulator is giving them a hard question, they're actually in a better place to be able to prevail. So anyway, with that said, I guess we probably can open up the lines for people to ask some questions or greet some of the new people on the line.
Most excellent. Thank you. Thank you, GW. We'll do it this way. Press star 2 on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen, to raise your hand. Press star 2 on your keypad to raise your hand to bring up your questions, and we'll open up your microphone for you to speak with GW here about that. Hello, Bruce. Those of you on Freedoms Radio, look to the center right of your monitor. You'll see a silhouette of a rectangle laying on its side. If you can figure out if it's the left side or the right side, let me know. Type into the center of that your comment or your question, and I will then underneath that you'll have a place to put your name and some other information. Hit submit, and then it'll pop up on my end, and I will be happy to lend my voice to your comment or your question. Before we bring on our first caller, just a couple of announcements. I made these at the beginning of the call. I'm making them again now. Two things. Brother John has joined us tonight. He will be speaking tomorrow night about some very serious issues that GW had talked about tonight. That he's going to be driving them home, and that is how one young man, 25-some-year-old, Utah or Wyoming, committed. He ran off with his mouth, and he got totally ventilated by a number of police who saw a gun, and he did not handle that side stop on the side of the highway well, and he died on account of it. John had his own personal interface with one of his existing students that he's going to share with you tomorrow night about, and we'll give him just a second to talk about what he's going to talk about tomorrow night in a moment. And then the other thing I want to share with you is that we are going to have a very special guest this Wednesday night with Mr. Slevin. Mr. Slevin does the LLCs. You know about that, or if you don't, then just real quickly, the LLCs that Mr. Slevin offer have zero tax liability associated to them. So you're operating commercially without a tax liability. How good is that? He's going to have a special guest. For those of you who are entrepreneurs, you know the difficulty of having communications with the bank with regards to creating a line of credit or maybe extending a loan to you for business purposes, et cetera, all the different hoops you've got to jump through, and then only to find out at the very end that it cost you a tremendous amount of money. And you didn't even get the loan, that type of thing. Or maybe you got the loan, so it cost you all that money, but a lot of times you just don't even get the loan. Well, there's a program that Mr. Slevin is associated with that is part of what we do here at Your Remedies in the Law, Americans Restoring America, and that is that if you provide $50,000 with this LLC that you should have, then you can have, after about 45 days, you will have built for you a line of credit or the credit worthiness for $1 million.
And for less than $50,000, you get less of a line of credit, that type of thing. So it does come in stages, and I hope that people will be talking about that on Wednesday night. So give me one more minute here. Brother John, would you like to step forward and say hello and just speak your mind, and then we'll have Bruce ask his question or make his comment.
Good evening, GW. How you doing, brother?
Hey, John. How are you?
Good. It's always good to hear your voice, brother. And for all of those who've honored us with the pleasance of your presence, GW opened up some, I won't say wounds, but I'll say some topics that tomorrow night we're going to put some dressing on, and we're going to show you how to avoid some of those same wounds. We're having a drastic realization that a lot of our people may not understand how best to handle things like a traffic stop. And as Michael pointed out, there's been some very serious issues. I spent 48 minutes last night with a young lady who had a guest in her car, a male that was 2 years older than she was. She was 20, he was 22. And she drives, she doesn't have a regular driver's license per se. She has something that's international. And she also has a passport card with a corrected status. This young man, was explaining to the officers that she didn't have to comply with this, and things, it was getting pretty serious, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. But it was at DEFCON 2, for those of you who know what DEFCON is, it was almost about to go to DEFCON 1, and it took 48 minutes, chatting with the, LA County Sheriff to get the situation back down, and it went from a time when there was only one vehicle out there to the time there were seven when they finally broke it up. So, they all had guns, you know, and so, something you guys may want to, pay attention to tomorrow night. Once again, GW, it's always an honor and a privilege, and had a chance to chat with a couple of your students, in the last day or two, a couple of days. And for those of you who aren't totally clear on what GW does, if I was to say one sentence on it, an ounce of prevention is worth more than a ton of cure. And GW is the ounce of prevention. You don't have any idea how serious that blessing is to have as a backup. So with that, GW, thank you for inviting me to the show tonight just to say hi. And all of you out there, the Father's blessings be upon you. Take care.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
that.
You so much, Brother John, for piping in and blessing us with your presence. And I would say a lot of earthly and spiritual brilliance, okay, this man possesses. It never
confuse an act of the Father's grace with a blind monkey that may find a banana once in a while, with emphasis on one particular blind monkey. You know,
if you haven't figured it out, ladies and gentlemen, this
dipping,
is the Mutual Appreciation Society weekly meeting.
The father dipping Balaam's donkey in liquid nitrogen and bopping me over the head, you know, on a street corner while I stand there looking around at shards of thawing donkey flesh going, what happened? While he's trying to get my attention. I don't know if I can make any claim to that, you know. So with that,
right.
The Father's blessings be upon you all.
Sure.
From me.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, it brings up something else. What Brother John was just talking about, In fact, it was the call that I was on right before I told them, I gotta get off. They had been on with me for quite some time. Gentleman out of Georgia who is one of my, I'd say, cheerleader. And he has been operating with the financial structure that Judge Bernie is the subject matter expert on for many years. And he is constantly calling me with the people that he wants to introduce me to. And one of them was a gentleman that was on the line, and he brought on, and we were talking about corrected status. And this guy told me, oh, yes, I did that for, you know, a period of time, and then I reversed it. And I said, you did it for a period of time and you reversed it? And he said, and he just was bringing up so many really incongruent, but from his standpoint, I understand what he was saying. But he had gone through what he thought he had gone through was the process of giving up his birth certificate, giving up his Social Security number, okay, and also, rescinding his driver's license, okay? And I said, wait a minute. You know, I had to ask him a bunch of questions because, and the reason he ended up, okay, and this gentleman is an African-American gentleman, okay, probably around my age. And he said it was too much drama because he was no tags on his car, okay, constant interviews, and he says, at some point I just had to reverse it. I'm thinking, wait a minute. We're not even on the same, you know, we're not talking on the same line here. And then I was able finally to express what we do on this call and what I do with people every day. And, you know, finally at the end of that conversation, okay, he says, I'm on board. I want to do that, you know, because he had been told that he needs to rescind, okay, and to try to give up all these different instruments, which are actually not even his, okay? They belong to a certain administration, all right? We just we act with them from time to time. But anyway, after, you know, a long, pretty drawn-out conversation, he was like, I'm on board. I want to do that. Now, I might in a few minutes have to change it. If my voice drops out, just tell me, because my 8-hour battery on this thing, or it's supposed to be 16 hours, I don't think it is telling me. So if I do, I'm going to have to put on my other headset here. So there might be an interruption, but I'll be right back on. With that said, if we may, or if, Brother John has anything maybe he wants to pipe in with, we can go and talk more. But if not, we will take questions and answers.
All right. So let's go ahead and start with Bruce. You are unmuted. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you. Just to be crystal clear, being ventilated is not being in a hospital with a tube down your throat, it's being shot.
There you go.
Okay. It took me a minute, but I can't imagine someone would escalate a situation with law enforcement when it's all about using the right words to de-escalate, not saying, oh, and here's my gun. And as soon as anybody does anything in a aggressive manner, the police officer's on high alert. He says he's shot every day. So
yep.
I'm sure there's, and certainly I'm in my 60s, so would never even remotely get my hand near my gun if an officer was around, and I would tell them about it and say, what do you want me to do with it? And, you know, I'll keep my hands right here or do whatever you tell me to do. And I've never had a problem. So.
Yep. Well said.
And the thing to remember, ladies and gentlemen, is that the law enforcement officers today are being told that people that talk about the Constitution, golly, people that talk about their savior and redeemer kinsman, their religion, that we're all domestic terrorists. That's what they're being taught, and that we're capable of nuking the world or something. That's what they're being told. And so if I were stopped, both my window's going to be rolled completely down. Both my hands are going to awkwardly be hanging out the door as far as I can twist and get them out. And when the officer comes up, I'm going to say, sir, I want you to know that on my right hip is a J-frame Airweight Smith & Wesson. On my left thigh is a blah, blah, blah. On my back belt loop is a buck knife, blah, blah. This is what I have. How do you want me to respond to you? I don't want to escalate this. I'll do whatever you say. I want you to have peace. And I'll stay like that until he tells me what to do. So, anyways, back to you. Bruce?
Yes. Anyway, thank you. I was just wanting a little clarification. That was a new term to me other than medically.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for your comment, Bruce. We appreciate you. Anything else?
Thank you. Nope.
All right, you're welcome. All right, rest of good. Press star 2 on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen. Press star 2 on your keypad to raise your hand. Hello, Nicholas. 1 second. I'm going to go check Freedom's Radio real quick. See if we have any questions here. Give it a moment to populate. Don't see any yet, so we go ahead and open it up for Nicholas. And now I've got a blank screen again. Don't you love it? It'll take a moment, Nicholas, unless I've already unmuted you. Say something and see if I unmuted you. I guess I didn't. And you're doing that to me. Goodness gracious. Stand by, ladies and gentlemen. My machine is being finicky here. Give it 1 second to. Stand by. See if I can't bring this up on my phone. Might even be faster. Isn't it strange? Isn't it bad today how your phone can be quicker than your computer? Here it's starting to light up. All right, so let us unmute Nicholas. Go ahead, buddy. You're unmuted.
Hey, can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly. Thank you.
Cool. I had two questions. The first one was about driver's license. I don't know if I fully understood it. Are you saying that once you correct your status, you don't have to worry about rescinding all that information and canceling all those previous contracts?
All right. Can you hear me? I got my backup headset on. Okay. Okay. So, all right. That is a subject that is just not a subject that has many layers to it and should be well, and if you're going to do things like you want to weigh of the subject matter and how it's going to affect you and whether, you know, what mindset you have and what training you have.
UW, your voice, your speaker, your microphone on your headset is not a good 100%. Are you in a quiet enough place to go on the speakerphone, on to go onto your speakerphone?
Okay, so what was wrong? Is it still that way right now?
Right now.
Can you hear me?
Right this second, it's good. Yeah, right this second, it's good. What it was doing was doing staccato. In other words, you'd have a word that just wasn't there, but we knew that you were saying something.
Okay. Well, hopefully it will stay. Just tell me if it's losing it again. Just
okay.
Tell me if it's losing it again, and I'll try to change up. So, with that said, what I want to say is that, yes, you can rescind those things, like a driver's license. You can rescind just about anything. But what I want to say, Nicholas, is this. Okay. Your driver's license is a license, okay? Now, I don't know if you were on the call when I first started speaking, but I was talking about a Supreme Court case that says that you know, the Supreme Court states the acceptance of a license in whatever form does not impose upon the licensee an obligation to respect or comply with any provision of the statute, code, or regulation that would be repugnant to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone over that one, Nicholas? Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah, I got that one down. I guess what I was trying to get at is more of the registration side of stuff with the license plate. And I'm my other question kind of led into that with the what I understand is a way around going to the department of vehicles or whatever they call it in each state and trying to get the certificate from the state or the actual, not certificate, the actual physical owner's title or manufacturer's origin.
The MSO.
Another way to do that is to get an abandoned title and a mechanics lien. And so I did some research, and they're not really saying much on the mechanics lien besides acquiring the property and putting it under an abandoned title because it's a shop that's going to be working on it. And apparently in my state, there is a form to submit a mechanics lien. But I was just wondering, you know, like about that, is there anything that needs to be rescinded first, or how would that, or do you have any input on that scenario?
Okay, so can I ask you what you're trying to accomplish with doing that?
Well, for
the
vehicle I'm getting, it already has an abandoned title, and I'd rather not register it because I don't think I can, and I don't know what I should do as far as once I acquire the vehicle with abandoned title and try to get it insured. You know, like I don't know if there's anything I need to do with that.
You know, there's a lot of different things that you can do. But like Paul says, you know, everything is lawful for him, but not everything is expedient. Now, what I want to tell you is if you don't register and you go about the process of doing what you're talking about with a mechanics lien, and you're not going to have license plates or tags on the car, okay, that you're operating with, you know, I mean, you got to know this, that you're inviting a lot of interviews from any and every law enforcement officer that's out there that sees you going down the road. It is like a magnet to steal. Okay, it's unavoidable. You know, unless you live in a really small rural area and they're all, you know, they all know you and you've been through the process with them and you just, you know, traveling around in the same little small area and everybody knows, oh, that's Nicholas Carr, you know. You know, nothing, no big deal, you know.
So can I ask something real quick?
Yeah.
So if I correct me if I'm wrong, but what I understand is there's not even a point if I'm, like, as long as I have a bill of sale, I'm going to be doing the same thing because I'm going to be running around with no plate. And so it doesn't really matter because I'm going to be inviting questions regardless.
Yeah.
And then.
You're definitely.
And then.
Yeah,
it's
going to be. Yeah.
I was just going to ask.
On top of that,
is there anything, any other options?
Okay. So, really. You always have options, but, you know, one option, you know, is not to have anything in the car and have everything legally, undisputedly, okay, in the form where you can identify to whoever's asking, officers or whatever, that, this private conveyance is 100% owned and operated and kept up by you. It's safe, and you can stand and deliver that to anybody that questions you, like an officer. The other, okay, is doing whatever it takes to have the private conveyance registered with the plates on it, with the tags and you know, and probably for the most part avoid most interaction with the police. Provided you're operating, you know, in a sane way from their perspective. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would one with corrected status and with no license go about, or, I mean, I guess the license still exists because it was never, you know, mine. It's always been the property of the government. But how does one with a corrected status go in and register? I know it's been brought up, I think, before about trying to figure out a way or a process to get, you know, some other form of identification put on the vehicle. But as of right now, is there any other, you know, is that possible?
May I answer this?
Sure. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. All right. Nicholas, uniquely you, you're already in line to be very shortly participating in a federal lawsuit against a law enforcement officer or officers for deprivation of rights under color of law.
Mm-hmm.
That's in line for what John is doing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And with that in mind, uniquely for you, because it's not anybody else, it's just you that's doing this, you'll have paperwork that you'll be carrying with you in your automobile, your conveyance, to share with them. When a law enforcement pulls you over, you're going to pull out your paperwork and say, have you ever heard of this federal lawsuit? Do you know John Officer Smith? in the county sheriff office, and goes, yeah, I know him. He says, did you ever hear about him getting sued in federal court for deprivation of rights under color of law? Like, yeah, I have heard about that. Well, here's the paperwork, and if you notice where it's got the plaintiff here, it's my name.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to understand that where this will go, that's something that you could say. Now, other than that, let's say you don't have that happening in your life. For myself, I travel between basically two counties. 99% of the time I'm in one county or the other. And I would simply go to the sheriff of that county and send and ask to meet with him personally and show him my paperwork, my status, my affidavit of status, let him have a copy of my pass card, passport, and just sit and show him the law with regards to deprivation of rights under color of law, and say that you just never want to be in a position where you'll be forced to file that kind of a federal lawsuit against one of his employees, which your loss prevention officer or office for your department would be greatly appreciated in knowing that's coming down and how to avoid it. So if you want to take this opportunity, Sheriff, to share this paperwork with your deputies and so forth, I'd encourage you to. I don't want to have any controversy with anyone. I'm not looking to have any issues develop. I just want to go about my way peaceably. Okay? And that's what I would do. Also, I will be, after a certain event takes place and I've got some time, I'm going to go up to Tallahassee. I'm going to make an appointment first with the Department of Motor Vehicles as well as the State Department of Florida and have a similar conversation with them and just say, I'm willing to invest the time if I have these interviews that I'm not looking to have in federal court, if that's what you require. And I'd show them the letter from the Department of Travel, I think it is, in the federal government, where they wrote a letter to the governor of North Carolina and said, your officers are arresting people that have the right to travel. You can't do that. I mean, you saw that letter, right?
Yeah. Governor.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what I'll be doing preemptively. When the event takes place that you know I talk about, we're going to ratchet this thing up nationally real quick. Mm-hmm. We'll have the funds to do it with. So thank you for GW for allowing me to intervene. Oh, one other thing.
Oh, no.
GW mentioned the following, and I'm going to quote it now. The acceptance of a license in whatever form will not impose upon the licensee an obligation to respect or to comply with any provision of the statute or with the regulations prescribed that are repugnant to the Constitution of the United States, end quote. This is WW Cargill Company versus State of Minnesota, 180 U.S. 452, and it's a 1901 decision. Back to you, GW.
Yeah, that's good advice from Michael there, Nicholas, especially on the situation you're already in. And you'll be uniquely, okay, in a position to do what a lot of people that are not in your position or have not prevailed, like you're going to prevail, okay, that you can do. So that was, I didn't even think about that because that didn't even come to mind. But that is so true. You know, you probably are in a good place once everything settles out and you got all that paperwork and documentation. You probably can pretty much do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. And when I make this trip to Tallahassee, Florida, I will be asking them to gift me with a piece of metal that I can put on the back of my car where a license plate normally would be, so that when a law enforcement officer runs the tag, it's the same thing as if when they run the the pass card.
I'd be very interested
that
in doing
will
that.
Be interesting.
Yeah, that's where I'm taking it.
Okay.
Anything else, Nicholas?
No, thank you so much. Appreciate everything.
My pleasure.
You will do.
All right. David, welcome aboard.
Hey, Michael. Hey, GW. I told you last week that I had received confirmation online that the passport and passport card were forthcoming, and both have been received. So thank you very much.
Right on.
Now, do you have a way that – do you have anyone that is your personal with that wears a badge that you could get them to set up a scenario where they can run that without getting in trouble?
I do. I've actually got two Leos that are going to be doing that.
Okay. Just
when they get that done, you're going to get flooded.
Yeah. Be forewarned. I'm serious as a heart attack. They will get in trouble if they just say, hey, yeah, let me see it. I'll go ahead and run it. If they don't have probable cause to run it, they will get in trouble.
We'll make sure that we have that covered.
All right.
Okay, good.
We will plan accordingly.
All right.
Good for you.
Thank you for
Anything
all your help
there?
And look forward to the next step. I await your instructions, Michael.
Well, no, we want to hear back from you when you hear back from your Leo friends.
Absolutely. You will.
And what would really be awesome is if you could actually get a screenshot.
I expect to be able to do that under the promise to sterilize anything that may be incriminating to the Leo.
Yeah, it has to be redacted, of course.
Yeah.
No problem.
So I think that these two Leos that we're dealing with are going to definitely accommodate that. So I'm looking for – it may take several weeks, but I'll get back to you when it's done.
Copy that. Right. Thank you, sir. All right. Anyone else? Press star 2 on your keypad. While you're thinking about doing that, I'm going to go refresh Freedom's Radio to see if anybody has raised their hands there.
Excuse me.
See what we got going here. Dun, 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 dun. Nope, no more questions there. Okay, we've got Lisa. Welcome, Lisa.
Yes, hi. Hi again. Yeah, so my question was, I have yet to become a national, and I was going to start the process a few months ago, but I guess I just got cold feet because just all of the propaganda from, like, mainstream and the police, you know, calling nationals sovereign citizens and saying that they're domestic terrorists. And
right.
I am already, like, having legal issues. So
well, you might be surprised how this will help you with your legal issues.
Yes, yes, I believe it. You know, so I think I'm ready to dive in, and I'd like to know how do I go about starting that process with you.
All right. For everybody on the call, get your pen and paper out, and I'm going to give you a phone number to work with.
Okay.
And for everyone that is not familiar with this, you have an 800 number, and it's 800-625-4250, 1-800-625-4250. And Miss Lisa, I have your phone here. Are you on a cell phone that texts?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. I will text you shortly my name, email address, and all that other good stuff. If you would reply with your full name, your email, and so forth, we'll start this handshake. I do want to say that here's your first lesson. Do not ever say national without saying it as, quote, American national, end quote. Why? Because there's also something called a United States national that they've made up. And a United States national is the same as a United States citizen, subject to the Congress.
Okay, I see.
Privileges only. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Always American national.
Correct. And the other thing that I do is when I'm talking to Leos, is I'll say something to them. Before I say American national, I'll say, I'm a Union state citizen. And they'll go, what? He says, well, you remember, Lincoln fought a war to preserve what? He preserved the Union. There's the several states. So I am a Floridian. I am a citizen of Florida, one of the Union states that are formed and organized by and under our federal Constitution, 1789. And it's codified in the United States Code under Title 8, Section 1502. So I come in that way sideways rather than just hit them with American national. That's just, if that is
right. Give them a little history lesson at the same time, right?
Right. So when I send you my email address, if you would send me just a paragraph on what your legal issues are, I can talk to you about that as well.
Okay. All right. Good. Now, does the number that you just gave 5 minutes ago, do I need that number as well?
Not really, because I'll be contacting you directly in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And once you have my cell phone, that's the preferred way to talk to me. The 800 number is only published for two reasons. One, if you want a free cup of coffee at Panera's, you can go to any Panera. As long as Lisa doesn't mind being called Michael, you'll get a free cup of coffee. Or talking publicly, like I am now, I don't give out a number published, my private number, because I'll get all sorts of cranks and cooks that, you know, go to that route.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Okay.
Any other questions, Ms. Lisa?
No, we're all good. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you so very much. All right. Next is Ron in the Cocoa Puffs, Florida. Go ahead, buddy.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering where I stood with the American National Identity Information. Are we still good, or do I need to send you some more information?
I don't have the file open in front of me, so I really can't answer that until, you know, I don't have that kind of memory recall like John does. So just give me a call. I'm always in front of my computer after 4 o'clock Eastern. Otherwise, when you catch me earlier in the day, I'm in front of my phone and I don't have those files on my phone.
All right. Thank you. I just wondered. I sent it in a couple weeks ago.
Not a problem. All right. Thank you so much. And then we'll check Freedom's Radio. Then we'll go to Kent. Give me a second here. Freedom's up. Nobody there. All right. Brother Kent, take us home.
Good evening, gentlemen. Can you hear me okay, Greg?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I wanted to actually cover three things, but I wanted to comment on your statement before, which I don't necessarily disagree with. And I want you to, if you would, think about what I'm saying. I don't mean this to be a trite question or a confrontational question. But when you were talking about, I believe it was David Strait, and the American national and the passport, and there's been some comments made about him before and what he's doing and things that were being stamped on the passport. If we were truly dealing with a government that was not corporate in nature and was there to serve the people, call that, if you like, a common law government or whatever term you'd want to use to describe what I'm describing, would this be really a problem if you were to write something or stamp something on a document? When I think about this, I'm thinking about what you're saying And I'm not suggesting that we ought to go out looking for trouble and stirring up all kinds of grief and, you know, being acrimonious about everything. I don't really think in most cases that's necessary. There's a time to be acrimonious, and there's a time to be adversarial and put your foot down, and there's a time, you know, not to make a war out of everything that comes along. So I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but if we really think about this, if we were going to the right department where we say the lights are out at the State Department or there's nobody behind the desk or there's nobody home, if we were actually getting these documents from the right department, why would it matter what we wrote on them or stamped on them? I'm interested in your thoughts about that and the concept, this whole concept.
Sure. Sure. So the way that you know, we're asking the question, I understand, I think, where you're coming from. And there's the perfect world scenario that I wish actually was real. And then there's this de facto government system that we're in this matrix. And here's part of what I want to tell you is that without going in, you know, with a lot of hyperbole here, my job pretty much throughout the with what I do on a daily basis with people that are either correcting their status, correcting their banking, okay, status, or correcting the status of their land, you know, I'm in a position to help them to navigate the minefield that's in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one that is, you know, been doing it and pretty much has confidence in it and has watched things blow up here and there. And yes, the bomb should not be in that area over there, but guess what it is? And please, let's not travel over into that area right now. And so, you know, pretty much my daily job is to, you know, grab a hold of my arm and I'll take you across this field as fast as you want to go. Just please don't let go. And that's really what is happening right now, because there's so many different scenarios like this. And yes, and, I don't see any problem. You know, in a constitutional republic, you know, you could take a document like the passport and you could stamp whatever you wanted to stamp on it. And you're right. I don't see a problem with it at all. But here's the thing. They've promulgated into the CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations, in these 50 titles, they've put provisions in, okay, that they make it an offense for you to do that on one of their official documents, okay? Now, whether you want to say, hey, that doesn't seem constitutional or not, I'm just trying to help you stay away from the drama that you might not want, okay? And so that's why I made the statement on the call that one night that I knew this was not going to work well for David, okay, when these people were telling me about how they – you know, we're stamping over the picture part of the passport. I've seen people do it with a driver's license and get in trouble. Okay. It wasn't the same words. Okay. It was more or less, you know, they were stamping on there things like, you know, UCC-1-308. Okay. And they were stamping other things on there. And when the cops actually got a hold of it, and were questioned hard, they put him into more jeopardy, you know, and so I'm always trying to find the peaceful resolution to the situation. And so
I know that.
That's the only thing I can say.
Okay, so let me just carry that one step further, not beat it to death, but carry it one step further. If in fact one was getting, and I'm not telling you that David Strait is doing it correctly. But let's say with what you're doing, if someone chose, and not you doing it, but someone individually chose to stamp that on, if they're a true American national, then there shouldn't be any problem with that. And would that be a correct conclusion on my part?
It's an absolute correct conclusion, and it is the perfect world scenario. But in reality, mm-hmm. okay, in reality, what's actually going to happen?
Okay.
It's like I would caution you strongly not to.
Okay. Well, I told you in the beginning of the conversation that I didn't disagree basically with what you were saying. I just wanted to delve into it a little deeper. You know, I'm not trying to make a philosophical sure. discussion out of it, but I'm trying to, you know, think it all through as to, you know, what we're doing, where we are, what we're saying, how we're conducting ourselves, et cetera.
That's right, Ken. You're not philosophical at all, man.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, John seems to think that I overthink some things. Maybe I overthink some things sometimes, but, you know, I don't think that I overthink everything. I think that I can bring things full circle around to a reasonable conclusion. So, secondly, on the MCOs and the MSOs, when you talk about, and you're talking to Nicholas, and he was talking about, you know, no plates and the abandoned title, et cetera, et cetera. I was talking to somebody recently who told me that even with the MCO or the MSO, whatever you want to term it,
sure.
that he was still having some difficulty. And when he did further research on it, he found that such statement of origin or certificate of origin was actually commercial in nature because the party who's issuing it is building consumer goods, you know, be motorcycles, cars, vans, whatever they're building. And therefore, that was obtaining the MCO and the MSO was not the be-all, end-all to getting that conveyance, if you will, out of the system, that you had to do some more with a notification to the state or the DMV, whatever. Have you heard anything like this, or would you, from what I'm saying, disagree with this?
I wouldn't disagree a bit. You're exactly correct. It is not the coup de grace. It is not the silver bullet. Just simply being able to get a hold of that. It's more of a journey. And if you're on that journey and it really floats your boat, you know, to have accomplished that, then I say more power to you. If your end game is to get into a place where you have the least government interference and annoyance in your life, you don't want to do it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so see, this is the thing why I love doing the correction processes with the banking, with the with Bernie and with interfacing with, you know, people that want to really get freed up from the system, but they want a peaceful solution, okay? There's a way to do it very peacefully and without a lot of you want to call it trauma. And those are the things that I love to talk about because I think that's what, you know, for sure that's what most people want. They don't want interaction with the IRS. You know, it's like, I doesn't want to get on. Okay, I understand that. So let's do this. And so there's a process for kind of exiting out of the system and not doing it abruptly, but doing it over a planned period of time, getting your arranging all your affairs in a certain way, and then finally coming to a non-crescendo, kind of flatten the curve, and then all of a sudden everything just kind of goes away. And it's not, but when you just do things abruptly, it creates more tension and it can create more drama. And so there's a path that is, that we've discovered on a number of issues that seem to have the least resistance and the most peace. And so that's what I'm consistently, my intention is to bring to my client. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's with Michael and with John and Bernie mm-hmm. also, you know.
Well, you know, that's fine. That's fine as long as people understand what they're doing. But, you know, there's some people that may feel like following the path that you're talking about. And, of course, this is an individual basis. Some people may feel that, you know, this is kind of a compromise. It's not really finishing the job. It's not getting really to the, you know, the bottom of the problem, the foundational issues. And I'm not saying that what you're doing does not get to that, but sometimes one could be left with the feeling that, you know, this is, you know, in the name of peace and quiet, you know, I'm making a compromise here. And, you know, I've spent all these years doing this, and now's not the time where I want to make a compromise as to the final goal or the mission that I'm after. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure you understand what I'm saying, and I'm sure I'm not the first one to have brought this up with you. So.
No, it's true. And yeah, I mean, it really is kind of a personal choice, and you're engaging your own sensibilities and you know, how authentic, I guess, you think you are being to yourself and how you want to pursue a certain issue. I do things a little bit differently now than I did 20 years ago, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as we age and grays start coming in, hopefully we're more, you know, centered on using, you know, that wisdom that God gives us over a period of time. And so, you know, I agree with what you're saying, and it's all, you know, good questions, good perspectives.
Well, it's too easy, Greg. It's too easy today for people to be so frustrated with this system and what's going on to say, okay, I think this guy over here has the answer, whether that be you or somebody else, whatever. And so, you know, I'm just going to go that route. You know, a lot of times that doesn't really equate to really living this. And if you're going to be successful at this, my experiences, and I've said this before, you know, you have to live it. You really got to believe in this. And when you believe in it, you can go up to heights that, you know, are never going to be reached by someone who is just looking for a template or a card that's going to get them, you know, out of jail free or something. So, there's a lot more to this. And I think that we should think these things through and ask the kind of questions that I'm asking, not to waste people's time, but to make them think about what they're doing, because when they think about what they're doing, then they're more likely to come to logical conclusions and better understand why they're doing it. And then just normally follows, you make a better presentation when you're in an adversarial or what could be an adversarial position. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well said.
Okay. And I have one other thing that I want to say. I was having an interesting sit-down discussion for about an hour the other day with a security director for a hospital. And most of these security directors in these big corporations and hospitals are former police detectives or policemen that retired after 20 years or whatever and then took, you know, a second job. And what he was telling me was quite interesting. He said that these corporations today, that certainly our police forces in this country, and having been a policeman, he knows that, he said, are paramilitary in nature. He says there's no disagreement about that. He says, but, you know, when I come to an organization like this, he said that's really, you know, whether you want to call it private or quasi-governmental, whatever you want to call it, he said, you know, I really don't expect it to be a paramilitary operation. And he says, you know, I've done a lot of work to change the training and move it from paramilitary to just, you know, we're here to keep order, but we're here to help people. He said, and, you know, he said, I meet so much resistance from corporate as to the fact that they are not interested in a non-paramilitary. They want a paramilitary operation controlling the security of the buildings. And, you know, this is kind of, you know, so here you have a guy that came out of that kind of situation that thinks this has no place out in the society, or very little place in the society, and yet, you know, he's up against a corporate system that says, no, we need a paramilitary operation here, and insists on training people like that and undoing anything that would go against that paramilitary structure. So I just thought it was a very interesting conversation for me. We covered a lot of other things, but, you know, I thought that his concept of what he was seeing and what's coming down today was kind of spot on.
Back in the 1970s, there was a movie called Rollerball. James Caan, the late James Caan, was the actor in it. And it was about how the world was taken over by corporations. National governments lost out, and it was international global corporations that was the government, if you would. And Rollerball was one of the games that they developed, you know, to be opiate to the masses with. But it's just funny that you brought that up. It brought that memory back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's all I have for tonight. Thank you, gentlemen, for hearing me out and for your comments. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so very much, Kent. Always good questions. Anyone else, press star 2 on your keypad. I'm going to go check Freedom's Radio real quick. If nobody else is on, then we're going to call it a night. And again, I want to remind everyone, please, tomorrow night and Wednesday night, tomorrow night is John. You heard him earlier on the call. He's talking about sharing with you what just happened this morning, I think is what it was, or yesterday, with one of his students and how he stopped law enforcement officers. And he believes he stopped law enforcement officers from acting aggressively, shall we say. And then, of course, Wednesday night, to return with Mr. Slevin, he's going to have very special guests that will be joining us. These guests are, their business is to take a entity like this LLC that Mr. Slevin has and create, legally create, a credit value, if you would. Upwards to or at $1 million or whatever number that you want to or have a need for. So I would encourage you to be on that call. Even if it doesn't have application in your life, it would be something to listen to understand and hear about. So thank you all for joining us, GW. Any closing remarks before we say goodnight?
Everybody just be well and and, you know, and it was a good night. It was a lot of good questions and a lot of good input. So, good night.
Tell your friends about us and have a good night as well. Till then, be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.